The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, and co-host Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm very good today.
Good. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. It's an improved website design.
Yes.
Took a long time to get there.
Yes, and a couple of headaches, but we are there and it looks much better.
And all of our archive radio shows are there.
That's right, almost 3 years of them.
Yes, we've been doing this quite some time. We have, for the second week in a row, John Moyles from Yard Shapers. John is the owner and operator of Yard Shapers. How long have you been doing lawn care, lawn maintenance, please?
19 years, Jackie.
19 years. So do you think you know what you're doing at this point?
I think I have a pretty good idea, but I'm always learning.
All right. So you do residential, commercial?
Yes.
Properties? Okay. And what kind of coverage area do you have? Do you go all through Lackawanna County? Do you go to any others?
We mainly work in the Scranton, Dunmore, Troop, Dixon City area. We do some work up in Clark Summit. We don't do the weekly maintenance per se, but we do landscaping all over. I actually did a job, I think it's 7 years ago, in upstate New York for friends of mine that own a bed and breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we drove all the plants up, the machinery, stayed the weekend, and put an English garden in the front of their property for them for 2 days.
How nice. Okay. Now, last week we went over how to select shrubbery, how to cut grass, you know, what you do, and the different heights of grass during the different types of year. Very important. People don't always realize that. We talked about irrigation systems and how you feel that they are very helpful to what you do and for people that are very busy, busy lives. This week, I wanted to talk about weeds and how we get rid of them, because they really can be the bane of our existence.
Yes, and they seem to grow where you don't want them to grow.
Mm-hmm. What do we do? Do you have any helpful tips there?
Well, for the lawn itself, as I said last week, we don't do weed killing per se. You can hire an outside company for that because we aren't licensed to do that. But there are some tricks. My father used to use a boiling hot water with some salt mixed in it. And I remember as a kid watching him go out and dumping it in the cracks of the driveway or wherever the weeds were that he didn't want. And a day or two later, there they were. They were dead. They're gone. And, you know, case in point done. No chemicals, no issue there. I mean, as for the homeowner, you can buy Roundup or different products like that and, you know, use that. For the people who don't want to use chemicals around their pets or their children, there are a lot of older tricks that you can use. You can also burn them. There's a torch you can add to a propane tank if you wanted to as well.
Well, what was the one that we were talking about that you used?
My father used to put salt and he would boil water on the stove and then bring it out in either a teapot or you could bring it out in a bucket. And
yeah, but you said in the parking lot where you didn't want anything growing. What were you throwing around?
Oh, you could just use regular salt like you do in
rock
the
salt, just regular rock
just
salt.
Regular rock salt and let Mother Nature do her trick. She'll rain on it, and that'll help to, if you have an area where there's a stone area that you really don't want anything to grow in, that's what we do at our one yard where we have pesky problems. We'll throw a bag of 50 pounds of salt around and let the rain hit it.
Yeah.
And in a week or two, there's nothing really left there.
Yeah, we were down at my father's house cutting down the pine trees that had been there for 50 years. Hurricane Sandy went down, and the ocean came up the block. It killed everything. Everything's dead. You had this beautiful garden. It's a shame.
Yeah,
salt. So salt works.
Salt works very well, even when you don't want it to. And that's the sad part about what happened down in New Jersey and New York. The problem with that is being contaminated. You're going to have to replace the soil. You're never going to get that.
The soil's got to be replaced?
To a point. You're never going to get that out of the top several inches of it. So I would turn new soil and new organic material into it to help to neutralize it.
Yeah, everything I read, which is something also that I wanted to discuss with you today, was it's all about the soil. Talk to me about the soil in this area, in our region.
There's many different soils in this area. You have the clay, you have ash from people dumping their ashes. Since we are a coal region, it's amazing what you can find in the ground. And what I found over the years digging, we found bottles, ash, as I said, from the coal.
Even pieces of coal, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, pieces of coal. The people threw anything in their yards. The one interesting part of our area, especially in Dunmore, is most of the properties are built, as you know, towards the front of the road, because most people had gardens because they couldn't afford to feed themselves, so they grew gardens. A lot of the properties have such good organic material in them to start with just because of that fact. One of the buildings that I own, we cut the grass weekly, and you'd swear we fertilized it, and that's just based on 70 years of people growing gardens over that many years. But, you know, you can get a soil test kit to see what your soil is like, and then from there you can add different nutrients to it to help the soil along so that the growing process is easier.
Is the soil so important when you're planting shrubs and flowers, things like that? We had a problem with our tomato plants when we first planted them. The first year we planted them, they were growing and they went tall and wide, but the bottom of the tomato turned black.
Yeah, the problem is if there's not the right amount of, as I said, organic material, we use a brown farm type dirt for when we're doing a lawn installation. But when you're planting in beds, we like to mix in compost, the peat moss, peat humus you can mix in as well.
Yes, yes.
To enrich the soil so that it gives you more nutrients and you're not using as much fertilizer to jumpstart the lawn. Yeah. You're letting nature do it.
The solution that the lady had from the garden center was, like you said, the peat moss, and she said to put some lime in there too, like you
yes.
said.
Yeah, lime's an effective thing as well. With so much more rain being acidic, you really can't, I don't think, over lime. Pelletized, I mean, they make a garden version, which is pulverized, but for the lawns, they make a pelletized version and put that down several times a year. Just to help to neutralize, that'll help get rid of the moss and help to control the acidic level of the soil.
Okay.
Do these Scott lawn treatments, these step bags, you know, the different ones,
yes.
Does this stuff work?
It works. I have some customers who do it themselves. Some customers use the, as I said before, they have many different services that you can hire that come, like myself, on a 4-step or 5-step program. Obviously, if you want to keep dandelions out of your property, it's a good way to go. Another important thing is the grub problem that you can encounter. There's a product called GrubX that they put down as well that is an insurance policy as far as I'm concerned, because a $35 or $40 bag of GrubX is a lot cheaper than a several thousand dollar lawn installation. Not that I wouldn't like the work, but
yeah, we just put that stuff down. I put it in my spreader and we spread it around, so hopefully there'll be no grubs.
Let's hope. But That's one of the biggest problems with brown spots. It's not only the dogs, it's the grubs.
What type of treatments would you suggest for insects or for critters that might want to invade?
Infest your lawn?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, some of the weed products do cross over into some of the pesticides for insects. It depends. Normally, the issues aren't as much with the lawn as it is with the shrubs, and your best thing to do is consult an actual expert on that, usually your fertilizing company. I know of several different bugs. The chinch bug's one. The spider mite is something that you'll see on specific plants. But there's so many different ones out there that your best bet is to call your fertilizing company for that.
You mentioned dogs and spots. What can be done about that?
Get rid of your dog.
Okay. Somebody doesn't want to get rid of their dog. They love their dog. So what can they do?
I have two dogs of my own. It really, as the dog gets older is when the issues start with the ammonia in the urine. If you want to keep dogs off your property, there is a product that you can buy. It's granular. You put on your property to keep them off of it. But as for spots in the lawn from your dog, there's really not much you can do. If you love your animal, keep them to a contained area and fix the spots he makes or she makes.
Okay. Keep them in the backyard.
Yes.
Off to the side of the house. All right.
Walk them on the neighbor's lawn.
the one without the protective
that's right.
granulars.
All right. So last week you told us that it really does depend on what you're cutting and trimming back. So we talked about when's a good time to prune and cut back certain types of flowers and shrubs and perennials and so on and so forth. When's a good time to plant? Is there a better time of the year to plant certain things, trees, shrubs?
We prefer to plant in the spring and the fall. The problem with planting in warmer temperatures, it's going to require more water. You have to realize that this is not like going to a supermarket or to a superstore and picking something off a shelf. It's a living plant. So they don't all come in the same shapes and sizes. And there is stress coming out of the ground where some of them are dug and they're put in burlap in cages to be planted. Some of the plants are in pots as well. But there is stress on them coming from the field to the job site. And that being said, we try to plant in the cooler months when there's more moisture. That's easier for the customer as well. But you can plant all year long. I wouldn't recommend putting a lawn in June and July and August. We've done it, but it requires a lot more effort for the homeowner. I like to liken a new lawn or new landscaping is like having a child or an infant. You're going to take care of it for the year. After that, you're less maintenance, but there still is maintenance involved.
Okay. Hold that thought. I want to come back to that after the break. Pat, before we go to break, would you please?
Yes, we have an absolutely gorgeous 6-bedroom, 4.5-bath home on over 5 acres of land in Dalton at 17169 Creek Hollow Drive. That's for $409,000. This beautiful home has a gourmet kitchen with a Viking 6-burner stove, a 21-inch flat-top grill, dual convection ovens, a Sub-Zero side-by-side refrigerator. The list goes on. This is a nice house. It has a great open floor plan with hardwood floors and great views of the countryside. The master suite has a see-through fireplace from the bedroom to the bath and a huge walk-in closet. It has an energy-saving geothermal HVAC system that'll save you money on heating and cooling. It has a great garage, and you could make an in-law suite downstairs if you wanted to. So if you're interested in a 6-bedroom, 4.5-bath home on 5 acres in Dalton, give us a call about 17169 Creek Hollow Road for $409,000. And that is listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
That's a sweet listing.
Oh, yeah, that's a slammer.
Yeah. Not all real estate companies can say this, but we can. We are mobile capable. Reading our website on your phone, on your smartphone, is possible by going to either jready.com or century21.com. It's break time, so we will be back shortly with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Grady Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Does your home represent the person you are today, or does it represent the person you were 30 years ago? Now is the time to buy a home that fits your present needs. No 3-car garage or backyard putting green, or maybe you just want the simple things. A private den where you can get some work done, or a finished bar where you and your friends can enjoy a few laughs. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate will work with you to find the one neighborhood, the one community that gives you the best value for the next 30 years. Whether it's time to move up or you are simplifying your life, life but don't want to sacrifice comfort, call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you from homepage to home while living up to the promise of the gold standard.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, if you have questions, we have answers. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jruddy.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Thanks for tuning into the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, Phil Realtor, and co-host,
Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right. We're here for the second week in a row with John Moyles. John is the owner of Yard Shapers, a lawn maintenance service. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Before the break, we were talking about weeds and soil. It's about the soil, stupid. You didn't say that, but that's what I read. It's about the soil. Soil does matter. It's an important reason why plants and flowers and things of that nature grow and flourish, correct?
Yes.
And just before the break, we talked about the best time to plant. You usually do plant spring through summer, but it's better to plant in the spring.
Spring and fall, yes.
Okay. Now, not only do you do new landscaping, you do landscaping design. You do weekly maintenance, mulch, irrigation systems. You do spring and fall cleanup. That means you get rid of those leaves.
It's important. The spring cleanup especially, we actually dethatch the entire turf area of the lawn.
What does dethatch mean?
To dethatch is to take out all of the dead grass that's built up. Even when you bag, you do not get all of the grass. The clippings don't all go into the bag. There's nothing's 100%, as you know. So, and a lot of people like to mulch because they don't want a bag or they don't want to have to put it out for the
right.
recycling.
Empty the bag, yeah, I understand.
So, we bag weekly with my business, but we have what's called a dethatching machine. And what it is there's about 60 blades that spin at a high RPM, and it scrapes out and removes all of the dead grass from the previous year. And any twigs, acorns, anything that might have gotten embedded over the entire winter season. But it's something we started doing about eight, nine years ago. I bought the machine. We used to rent one. We use it. Now every property that we do, we actually dethatch it. And it gives the customer and the lawn a much better job. And it gives it a good starting point for the spring for it to grow and thicken.
Oh, okay.
How about mulch? You can do that all spring, summer long, too, the mulching? It's not just for spring?
No, it's not. You can mulch any time of the year. In fact, the one nice part about owning my own company is I have my guys mulch several times a year at my house.
Just it because must look nice.
It does.
Well, there's nothing like it the first week you put it in, but then it fades.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, is one thing that I don't like to do is I don't like putting mulch in the month of April. Unless we're doing a new installation, we will. The problem with that is April's a very rainy month, as we know, and the most of the mulch out there is a dyed product, and the problem with that is you're getting a lot of rain on it, and it's just going to wear. The color's going to wear faster with that much rain on it. The other thing that's important, too, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, I learned this many years ago, and having been in the business for years, we did a mulch installation for a property and it rained. The next day, it washed the dye out. I like to mulch when I know it's not going to rain so that the mulch can cure or dry, because when you get the mulch and you turn it, it's still wet. It doesn't completely dry out. The only part of it will dry is the top part. So we like to put it in when we know it's not going to rain and the sun's going to bake it or cure it, so that it gives you as much longevity for the season so that the color will stay as long as it can.
So you deal a lot with dyed mulches?
That's what we use. We use dyed hardwood mulch. We get it by the trailer load. We mainly use the brown and the black, but there is red. There's many colors out there. There's natural that some people like. It doesn't really have any color. That's their preference. But mulch can be put in any time during the year. It's not important. Most people like it for the spring, obviously, because it's the time when everything's starting to grow. But the nice part about mulch, and not everybody likes to do it every year, but because of the cost. And the problem with that is the grass is green, the plants and the flowers are green, the flowers are bud, everything's budding, and you have this old mulch from the year before. So everything, it's like putting on a very nice suit and not polishing your shoes is the best way. And my dad used to say that to me. Same, that was like edging your lawn or edging your beds. It's like putting on a very nice suit and not polishing the shoes.
That's a good way of putting it. Now, what are the things that people should consider when they're choosing a mulch?
Well, as I said, we usually use a lot of brown mulch as a color. Brown goes well with most properties. I try to see what the house looks like, the area that we're doing it in, and see. And a lot of it's preference. You can buy the rubberized mulch, but it's very expensive. It's tires that are shredded and then painted. But the problem with that is you need so much of it that I think it's something like $10 or $12 a bag. So it's very expensive. And in our area with the leaves, cleaning the beds out, you're going to lose a lot of that mulch when you're
picking up the leaves.
Right, because we blow the leaves out with leaf blowers because it's more economical for us as well as the customer. So I'd be very remiss if I blew out, you know, hundreds of dollars of rubberized mulch at someone's property that's supposed to last indefinitely. So the other thing too is, from year to year, you can just top dress your mulch and put a thin layer in, and it will give you the same color without the 2-3 inches of mulch. It's also good for obviously keeping the weeds down. That's the main importance of mulch, is to keep the weeds down as well as to keep moisture in.
Is there any problem with putting mulch against wood porches?
Yes, we try to not put it directly against wood. The problem with that is moisture. I've not had any issues with insects or termites in the mulch that we've used. But the problem being is moisture breeds a lot of problems, insects as well as fungus, rot. So we try to keep the mulch away from...
A distance away from...
Yes.
Wood against wood is not good.
No.
Okay. Now, when you were talking about you doing a job and you were doing the colored mulch and it rained shortly thereafter and all the dye ran out, if there's concrete around that area, does it dye the concrete?
Yes, it will go into the pores of the concrete. Actually, we just delivered a load to a customer of mine. We don't normally deliver, but these people enjoy putting their mulch in. It's like a weekend with the family. And they had a tarp waiting for me that we laid the tarp down and wrapped it. And then I suggested they wrap it again with another tarp, because it will stain. And then it's going to be there for several months. You will not get it out. It'll come out eventually, but you're going to need to power wash it.
And before the break, you were talking about when you install lawns and that it is, you compared it to having a baby.
Yes.
And taking time with it and nurturing it.
Yes.
And letting it grow. And in this society, we are an instant society. We go on the internet, we get information.
Yes.
And, you know,
that's one of our biggest issues can be the amount of time things do take to materialize. If you want instant, you put sod in. The difference between sod and seed is probably 4 to 5 times the cost, because this has been growing in a field. Someone had to cut it. They rolled it, put it on a truck on a pallet, drove it to the job site. Then we as a landscape company now have to take it, roll it out, piece it together, stagger our seams, and then in some instances pin it in place. So obviously it's a lot more labor intensive than taking a spreader, walking around the area
and seeding,
and seeding, putting down the fertilizer, and in some cases either pen mulch or straw. So if you want instant, you want sod. But if you want sod, then it's a lot more watering, and you better put an irrigation system in.
And instant, you have to pay for instant, is what I just heard.
Yes.
It's more expensive.
It's a lot more expensive. But
it's done. It's finished.
It's finished, and it's instant. In an instant society, we don't seem to want to pay for instant anything in our society. We seem to want it quick and cheap. It's kind of funny. A friend of mine told me years ago, you can have it either quick, you can have it good, or you can have it cheap, but you can only pick two. So whatever two you want, you don't get all three. And that's the truth in anything.
You had a very wise friend there. Okay, when you're creating a design and you're doing a layout, is it best to buy all small plants or small trees so that they grow and mature in their place? Or is it better to buy something that may be a little bit more mature?
Depending on what we're doing and where we're installing it, some of my product comes from my wholesalers. Normally, I don't put anything in smaller than a 3-gallon potted plant, because anything smaller than that doesn't look like, it's going to take forever to grow. It doesn't look like anything. Where you can buy something smaller in perennials, you can use gallons, quarts, because they mature faster. It's kind of like a perennial is kind of like a dog or a cat. They grow quickly. You know, 1 year they're 7, and plants are more like the human, where it takes longer for us to grow. So that being said, I usually do not put anything smaller than a 3-gallon pot in, just because I don't see a benefit to it personally, and some people may disagree. But when the job is done that we're landscaping, I like to usually tell people it looks like it's been there for years. If you just built a brand new home and you're next to two other people on either side of you who've been there for, let's say, a year, 2-3 years, and you come in with 1 gallon shrubs, A, it's going to look like you didn't want to spend any money, or you didn't have any left. And that's a thing too with building a home. People don't realize the expense that comes with the landscaping. So by putting in the larger shrubs, it looks like the job's been there, and it gives you a lot better appearance from the start.
Okay, and what we do, it's about curb appeal, and you make it very appealing when you provide your service. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
We can be contacted at 570-489-7737.
Okay, and that's John Moyles with Yard Shapers. John is the owner and operator of Yard Shapers, and you've been doing lawn care and lawn maintenance for 19 years. We've had 2 weeks of fabulous discussion with you, and I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming into the Real Estate Roundtable and telling us all about the things we wouldn't know about unless you were here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, Pat, before we close?
Yes, we have buyers who are pre-qualified who cannot seem to find what they're looking for. We have buyers looking in Clark Summit and Ransom area. They're looking for 1,300 square foot plus with 3 bedrooms and a 2-car garage and a nice yard. They're looking under $200,000. We are looking for 2-family side by side in Scranton with 3 bedrooms on each side, and it must have a porch, for $85,000 or less. We have people looking in the Mid-Valley. The house must be able to pass FHA requirements, and that's got to be between $80,000 and $120,000, and that's a 2-family home they're looking for. And finally, we're looking for a single in West Side with 3 bedrooms in good shape with at least 1,300 square foot, and that's $85,000 or less. So if you're thinking about selling a 3-bedroom in Clark Summit or the Ransom area, or a 2-family in Scranton, or a 2-family in Mid-Valley, or a 3-bedroom in good shape in Scranton, give us a call. We have buyers.
Thank you, Pat. Our extremely busy office, and we're really slammed. We could really use some help. We're looking to add on 1 full-time realtor, and I'm now interviewing. And we have a flexible work schedule. continuous ongoing broker support and a very pleasant office environment. Whether you're looking to start a new career or change careers, please call me and I can make that change happen. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.